fantastic. It's beautiful.
Peace be with you.
Cool, boobs, awesome.
I engaged in an adult consensual affair with another man.
Oh my.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Good morning, Meredith. This is
wow.
I am a gay American.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here's our phone number, 877-365-3636. On the program today, we're going to do a little Make Us Laugh.
Good.
Now, here was the plan. This when I came in today, I said, we're going to do Make Katie Laugh.
That was the plan.
And here's what I was told, and I probably should have figured this out on my own. Katie is kind of an easy mark.
She's a giggler.
I mean, I think that's why Rob gets along with her so well, because Rob is constantly keeping her in stitches. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's just a very fun-loving gal.
Yes, she is. Very
gal,
easy, she says.
Sneakers, 1920s, all that good stuff that I talk about. Do we have Mr. Fietti on the phone, Beth Ann McBride? We do. Let's get right to him without further ado. I am an enormous fan of this guy. Let's get him right on the line right now. What is that sound I heard in the background?
I'm sorry. I thought the record was cued. But
oh,
I must go a few
it's terrible.
Without
further ado, from the Food Network, I love this guy, yeah. Guy Fietti. Guy, are you there?
I am here. You guys sound crazy.
Well, we're not as crazy as you. I was doing some research, reading about you, and the first thing that blew me away is that you've got like a background in like corporate restaurant work, and I would never think of you as a corporate guy in any way, shape, or form. I'm so glad you kind of busted out of that prison that you were in there, guy.
Well, you couldn't even call that any better than the way I remember sitting there in a meeting in a restaurant in a suit, and I stuck my knee up to the table, and somebody put gum under the table, and I'm looking at this $400 suit, and I'm just looking at myself going, what am I doing? I got to go do my own restaurant. I want to wear shorts and flip-flops.
I know. I'm addicted. I'm gonna get the compliments out of the way, because you're two things. I think one of the best things on the Food Network, because
Agreed.
I love watching that show. I like any shows on the Food Network where they travel around, they go to different places. You are also the single worst person to watch if you're on any kind of a diet.
Yes.
Because you watch your show, and I swear to God, you want to run into your kitchen, and you want to just make pancake batter as soon as you get done
things
watching
that are fried.
It's amazing. I'm sure
pancake
you hear that.
Batters and hamburgers. Yeah, I'll tell you something, and I never really got what people were saying about that, but I was shooting in Salt Lake City. I had flown in late. I was sitting in the bar. It was the only thing open at the hotel, and I'm sitting there just waiting for the crew to show up. And the show comes on. You know, it was a rerun. But I sit there, and I'm watching the show, and I became so hungry. And I'm like, oh, this is what I do to people.
Yes, it is. And how do you keep from gaining, you know, getting as big as a house? How do you do that?
Well, believe it or not, there's no engine in that car. There's pedals.
So obviously you're in the corporate racket for a while. You didn't always look like you do now with the spiked blonde hair and all that.
I mean, you really did some research.
You couldn't do that. Well, I'll tell you this stuff. I know this is exactly how I know you, guy, and this is why you know, I made a list when we debuted this show about 2 months ago. I mean, I've been on the air for 20 years with Don Geronimo, but we started this show, and Beth Ann says make a list. And I said Guy Fietti was one of the guys on this list.
You did?
Because I didn't process that you'd actually gone through the, you know, be a Food Network star competition. I thought you were just a regular guy on the show because you're a natural for it. I thought you'd been there for a million years.
All along.
Because you do look like, you know, this is the job that you were put on earth to do. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about your show. You got a couple of shows on, but Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives is fantastic. And it looks like you're having a good time when you're doing it.
It's, you know, it's the craziest thing. I left the corporate world of restaurants, moved up to Northern California, where I'm originally from, up in the wine country.
Right.
And speaking of which, if you ever get yourself out here, we'd love to get you up to the restaurants.
Well, you know what? We happen to have just a little tiny following in a place called Sacramento, California. And
I got a restaurant for you in Sac. So
you do? Okay, very good.
Ex Wasabi. So if you find yourself coming to Norga, but I wanted to get out of exactly the thing you were saying. I wasn't a corporate guy. You know, I wanted to do I had my own dreams about how I wanted to do restaurants. And so I came up here to Northern California and opened up restaurants. We have four now. One of the, you know, I wanted to raise my kids in this environment. And then this whole crazy thing happened where some of my buddies kind of coerced me into entering the Food Network Star show, mm-hmm. you know, the next Food Network Star. And I thought, okay, you know, I'll enter it. You know, I'm never going to get on. Then I got on the show. I thought, okay, well, I'll do this. But, you know, I'm not going to win. I'm not a TV guy.
Right.
And I ended up getting, you know, fortunately to all the, you know, all the great people out there that voted me into this job. And then they come up with a show called Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And I'm like, wait a second, is this divine intervention? It is better.
So you come by it honest as far as would you always, if you traveled around, because Guy's got a background in some regional, you know, corporate activity where right. he would travel obviously a lot. Did you always try to find, if you'd go into a particular town, the place that the locals were digging? How did it come about?
Well, see, that's the reason that this is such a unique situation, is we as a culture will go for something we like less but are safer with than taking the chance when
right.
it comes to eating.
Oh, especially
so that's
food,
why
yeah.
chains do so well is because people become familiar. Mm-hmm. People know it's a safety. They know if they walk in and they get a burger here, it's going to be the same burger they got in Omaha. But the thing is I just couldn't go for it. I would rather not eat than eat something inferior. And people say, well, you know, come on, you eat burgers. How can you be that picky? No, no. Now, the reality of it is everything has its greatness level. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I really was one of those people. I mean, I would interview the front desk staff at a hotel and say, come on, seriously, where is the best taco in town?
Oh, right.
Well, you know, you don't want to go to this place. It's a taco truck. And you know, that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so when the show was invented, when Diners was created by a fantastic producer, a guy named David Page, Emmy Award-winning producer, when he came up with this, I said, this is like my life.
Yeah, cool. Cool. Now, I'm going to get I would get my balls busted by the listeners if I didn't bring up the fact that I am a failed restaurateur. I was not and I'll tell you one of the reasons I talked about that the restaurant that I was involved with probably didn't have as good a run as it should have is because everybody I see you profile, the restaurant is run, owned, and operated by the guy that's on the premises. And how important is that in a place like one of these diners, drive-ins, and dives that are so popular? You got to have the guy that's going to be there, don't you? It seems like you have that almost every week. Hello? Oh, we lost him. Can we get him back on the line?
Oh, no.
Oh, there was my big moment,
It was a great question.
Maybe you said failed restaurateur, he didn't like it and he hung up.
He's very, very frustrated.
I don't
want
to talk to you.
We're getting him back on the line right now. You know, it's such an awkward moment for him to lose because really after telling him my story, my little confessional, I think I'm going to cry right now.
No, don't do that.
I thought the long pause was him just getting ready to counsel you.
Thinking over his answer.
But the point that I was making, and I can elaborate on it a little bit, is you see these mom and pops on this show every single week, and one of the things is last night, for example, I was watching it, and where the hell did they go? It might have been in Arizona where they were the guy was like a barbecue champion, right. And then another guy ran the store for his father, and he said, "How often do you work there?" He said, "I'm here 7 days a week." Let's see if we got him back on. Hello, Guy, are you there?
I am here.
Sorry about that. We lost you or you lost us. And I was just making...
You know what? I always love call-ins because there's so many predicaments that take place. I love the call waiting. I have a radio show that I do here in the wine country called Food Guy and Marcy. And I love when we have our call-ins because I try to tell people, please turn the call waiting off. Just please.
Yes, yes. It's very difficult. So, and I was just in the middle of confessing my failed restaurant operation to you. And I don't know how much you heard, but one of the reasons I said is that I was an owner, but I wasn't an operator, and I wasn't there all the time, and I wasn't a food guy. I was just somebody who wanted to have one of these things. And I think when you see these places you're talking about, they always have the operators that are on campus. They're always there. Like that guy last night, you had a kid that was it's owned by his father, but the kid runs it and he's there 7 days a week.
Is that the secret?
Is that pretty much the secret to a lot of these places?
I think you're referring to the Village Cafe.
Yes, that's it. Exactly what I'm talking about.
And that's sad that I can remember just the tidbit. No, remember where, you know.
That's Richmond, Virginia, right?
Yeah, exactly. Neat, right by the campus. Neat place, neat kid, neat opportunity. But you know what it is, really? I will tell you, being in this business this is all I've ever really done is been in the restaurant business. The places we shoot for diners really have to be owner-operator. We have to find that the key people are in place majority of the time.
Yeah, you're not going to go into – it's rare that you're going to go into even a small regional chain. You're not going to do that, right? You have to go to the mom and pop.
Yeah, we want to, and there's a couple reasons behind it. One, I'm trying to show the uniqueness of that individual spot.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the greatest gift that any restaurant dude can ever give any other restaurant person is to have the chance to shine a spotlight on them. And what this show does to their business. You couldn't, you know, if you walked up to the average restaurant and say, I'll give you the lottery, or Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives will spotlight you, I think the majority of the people would say, you know, spotlight us, because it's not about the money, it's about the passion. But what it does to their business volumes, we have reports of places that their business has increased by, get this, 300%.
Oh, my God. Man, so, I tell you, I would have bribed you when my place was open. I swear to God, I would have given you a bribe.
Yeah, where was
it? Well, trust me, people try to come in, and this is not one place. I mean, this is overwhelming. Majority of the people are saying the overall volume of business is, you know, doubled and, you know, goes on and on. And it's so neat for me because, you know, being a small restaurateur, owning my own joints, and having this understanding that, you know, you don't have the marketing budget, the advertising budget of the big chains, and the reality to be able to, you know, show people. I mean, there's places that people have written us letters and said, hey, thanks a lot, buddy. You came into town and highlighted our favorite burgers.
You ruined it. My secret is out. You do a lot of breakfast. Do you have any particular place? I mean, you do so many places that serve the breakfast. Is there a place in America, and I know it's a tough thing to put you on the spot, is there a place really that stands out, even with all the other standouts you've been talking about?
You know, I got to tell you, here's the funny thing about it, is I'm probably the least breakfast guy you'd ever meet.
Okay.
Not a pancakes, I'm not a waffle. I like anything that has to do with grits.
Right.
You know, corned beef hash, nice peppery smoked bacon.
That Scrapple looked gross, though, last night when I was watching that Scrapple.
Started on that Scrapple. I walked on that stuff.
Good for you.
People that love Scrapple. I mean, it's a cultural, it's a regional thing. I'm going to tell you, and it gets a little bit to say, well, there's a canned answer. There's a place here in my town that I live in Santa Rosa in Northern California called Hank's Creekside.
Hank's Creekside. Oh, that sounds good.
Hank's Creekside. Now, Hank is about 6'10", okay, and he cooks on this little line right when you walk through the door and you see him. And he's a wonderful guy, and all of his kids work there. He's got six kids, and they all work there, and it's just the neatest thing. But I've been going there for years, and I remember one time I asked Hank, I said, Hank, why don't you have any grits on the menu? And he says, who eats grits? my mom was from North Carolina. I said, you know, that's what I know to eat for breakfast. So Hank went and got a box of grits. And this is way before TV, you know.
Oh, my God.
And so that's kind of what's close to my heart. But I'll tell you something. We see some things. I saw one. We did a show the other day. It hasn't aired yet. But we shot a place in Baltimore called the Blue Moon Cafe.
Blue Moon Cafe. I've heard of it, and I'm sure we have people in the listening audience that have been there.
Phenomenal joint.
Now, listen to this. Now people are going to be going over there.
Yeah. Sure.
Now, have you done anything from D.C.?
Haven't done D.C. Baltimore was the closest,
okay.
And we just did Baltimore about 2 months ago. And I'm going to tell you something. You have got some gems. There's a place called Chaps Pit Beef on Pulaski Highway or Pulaski Avenue that serves some of the best pit beef. And people that don't know what pit beef is, it's a regional thing to Baltimore.
Right. I know what you're talking about.
You throw these top round on the charcoal grills, cook it, and then super thin slice it, serve it on rye with horseradish and onion,
ooh.
And I am not kidding you, it is just addicting. Wow. Phenomenal.
Is there any, when I watch your show, this is a weird question. When you eat, there are a lot of people you look at and you can, you know, you see them and you're like, oh, I don't want to see that guy eat. Uh-huh. You are somebody, I'm sure you get this. I want
to
see you eat,
you're
dude.
Fun to watch.
It doesn't bother me. I could watch you eat and it doesn't. Did you how you trained yourself? It's a natural. You're a natural eater. You don't piss people off when you eat, guy. I swear to God.
I'm Italian. I mean, that's what we do. But you know what's so funny? Because, okay, so now so many people have seen the show. I remember when we first started the show 2 years ago, and we would have to explain to people what the show is about. And then people would say, well, we're not a diner, and we don't have any drive in here. So you're calling us a dive. We don't want anything. And then hang up on us.
Yeah, sure.
People look at it and go, you know, now we get, you know, I can't even say the thousands of letters we get, but we love it because it's the people show. People tell us where they want to go.
And now I have to, you know, ask some questions coming from the staff here. Katie, mm-hmm. who is a lovely girl that works here with us, and she has to ask this question. You're hot. How's your marriage? She wants to know. She thinks you're hot. You know you get that with the spiked blonde hair. You know, even though you're, you know, you're not exactly, you know, Jack LaLanne. I watch the show, but do women hit on you?
You're not Jack LaLanne.
Who is?
it's a popular position to be in. But I'll tell you something. You tell me anybody that's being successful in whatever job or environment they're in, they got to have somebody there supporting them at home. And I got a great wife and two great boys. And
sorry, Katie.
My mom and dad. So well, tell Katie you. Though. I think she has really good taste. I'd like to introduce her to my staff.
Oh, okay, very good. We'll try that too. Have you ever? And this is a legitimate question. This also comes from Katie. Have you ever not liked, even detested, something you've tried that we've actually seen you on camera where you might go, hey, not bad, but you're eating garbage.
If we're going to get one real true message out of this entire meeting today,
yes.
Which I love this, by the way. If you guys want to sort of call, I'll just get on the show with you weekly on Tuesdays if you want.
Oh, my God. I do it in a minute. I love food. I love –
you're hysterical.
You're the only show, seriously. I watch your show religiously on the food. If it's on, it is – I put it in the category of like watching the movie Goodfellas. When that's on, I never turn it off. When I am watching your show, I always watch that because it's – not only is it fun, and it is kind of similar to this show in a way, but you go to these different joints and it does have that informative factor. If I was an organized person, I'd write down the names of the places you go to, but I'm lying in bed. You can get
all that online. Well, anytime, seriously, guys, and I mean this, it's fantastic. It's a hysterical show, and anytime you guys want to talk, I'll give you an update monthly, whatever you want.
Okay, cool. All right, that's good.
Good offer.
So you wanted to clear up the fact that when you're eating on camera, you're always giving us the straight deal when you're going into these restaurants.
Now, I'm not going to spit something out and make these people look bad. That would never be my intention. I'm a positive energy person.
Okay.
But there was a time, for instance, I did one called the Triple D Triple X
sounds like a porn movie we're talking about here.
Sounds like a good porn movie.
But, they had a hamburger with peanut butter on it.
Okay.
And it just wasn't right. The saltiness of the burger, the greasiness of the burger, and then the creaminess of the peanut butter. And at the end, you'll see me. I take the bite, and they go, "What do you think?" And I go, I want my mommy.
It's that bad. Guy, can we prevail on you to take a couple of questions from our listeners?
Oh, absolutely. I love
okay.
it.
Okay. Let's take a couple of calls. As a matter of fact, from your backyard, we're going to go to Mike in Sacramento, California. Mike, you're on with Guy Fieri.
Hey, Guy. My wife and I are huge fans. We watch her Triple D all the time. Just three quick questions. I'm going to fire them to you, and you can answer them at will. First off, is that your Camaro? Secondly, have you ever heard of sunscreen? And third, is you ever going to open Johnny Garlic's in Sacramento?
Oh, man, I like the rattling. Okay, the producer owns the car, and it's a funny story about the car because we used the car in the special that we first filmed for Food Network to just show them, the idea of Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. And we borrowed the car to do the shoot. Once the show was picked up, we had to come up with a car, and I had only one rule. I only drive Chevy. And so
Robbie. Our in-studio producer, Rob Spiewak. He digs that.
That's very nice.
I'm only a Chevy guy, man.
Hey, Rob, did you ever eat at that Village Cafe in Richmond?
I have.
Awesome. Really? Oh, yeah. You did that one.
The second question
Mike, what was your second question for Guy Fieri?
Have you ever heard of sunscreen, man? You look a little burnt every time you get out of that car.
And it is the saddest state of affairs. I get my bag, packed and everything, and my wife will always conveniently have the sunscreen somewhere. I put it on my tattoos when I wear tank tops, so I know how to put the stuff on. Uh-huh. For some reason, it just doesn't gravitate up to my face. The next one is you see, I have two restaurants, guys. I have Johnny Garlic's, which was my first company.
Johnny Garlic's? I love the name right there.
Oh, my God, was that good.
And it's another one called Tex Wasabi's. Johnny Garlic's is kind of like California Italian.
What the hell is Tex Wasabi's?
Tex Wasabi's is Southern-style barbecue and sushi.
Yeah.
Seems
all
like
right,
such a
I'm
natural.
Sorry.
I'm
having
there.
Trouble.
I'm
I know you know what you're doing. You've been doing it a long time. God knows you know better than I do. But does that work, sushi and Texas barbecue?
I'll tell you why it works. Southern-style barbecue, particularly in California, out in the West Coast, doesn't get as much representation as it needs to, the low and slow cooking.
Right.
Sushi, on the other side, a lot of people don't like sushi, and if someone doesn't like sushi, then we're not going to sushi.
Right.
So my thing was, if I could do, two different types of foods, not trying to mix them together, but just do two different types of foods.
Oh, so two totally separate entities when you go into the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not separate entities. It's the same menu and everything.
Same menu, but I mean, it's real sushi and real Texas barbecue.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. No, we spent, I mean, I spent a lot of time competing in professional barbecue and, you know, rolling. I've been rolling sushi since I was in, you know, before I was in college. So, no, it's both legit. Now, it doesn't have the cultural aspect of your typical sushi restaurant. I mean, we have the sushi bar and that kind of thing. But, you know, there's some change to it. The environment that we put it in, rock and roll music, good-looking staff, high energy place, loud neon, all that kind of stuff, and it's a party when you walk through the door.
All right, there you go.
But
all
the question was the Johnny Garlic's. Johnny Garlic's. We are coming to Johnny Garlic's in Roseville, and we're trying to get it done as soon as we can.
He's a mogul. Let's take another call from Paul. Paul in Virginia. You're on with Guy Fieri.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Guy.
How you doing?
Hey there.
I am a absolutely huge fan. I've always been sort of an adventuresome diner, but really, I'd say thanks to your show, I seek out the Triple D.
Cool.
And I got one for you. And I was over in Annapolis recently and didn't know where to eat, and just plugged in diner into my GPS and found this great place called the Double T Diner over in Annapolis.
I've been there.
And it is excellent.
Yeah, I've been there before. That's very, very cool. Do people do that with you? Thank you for the call. We appreciate it, Paul.
That's dynamite. And you know what I want to say to Paul is, do me a favor. Go to food.com, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and there is a spot where you can go and it says, tell Guy where to go. And it means tell Guy what diner to go to. Don't tell Guy where to go.
That was actually going to be my question. Probably the most difficult thing I would imagine for you and your producers is to find these places. But do you get most of the suggestions from, the word of mouth when you're in an area, or do they go to your website? How do you generate all the info?
If someone will come up to me and they'll tell me I'll be in an airport, I'll text it. Usually I'll grab my phone and text it to my producer right then if someone's really passionate about it, because, you know, that's the greatest way for us to do this is from what people want to see.
Right.
Then we'll have someone send us one. But when we get 50, 75, 250, I mean 500, you know, when we start getting that level of emails, that really turns everybody's head. But it's about – you know, there's 5 full-time researchers that work in Page Productions.
Okay, yeah. So it's an endeavor to get it done, but you do your research on it.
It is, and it has to have multiple components. We got to have a good story. We got to have good characters. And the bottom line is, which we won't even start going anywhere with this, the food's got to be the real deal.
Okay, right. People are excited to talk to you, Guy. I got to get some of these on here. Hold on a second.
No, you got me as long as you want me.
Oh,
Guy.
Good. Okay, great. Let me go to Kathy in Virginia. Kathy, you're on with Guy Fieri.
Hey, Guy, I love your show, and I'm from a little town in upstate New York where all I go to is the diners because they're family-owned. I know the families. If you're ever in upstate New York, there's 2 diners you got to hit. Oneonta, New York, there's the Neptune Diner, and then in Walton, New York, there's Daddy's Diner. So if you're ever up there, go hit both of them. They're great places.
All right, go to his website. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Suggest
him
to the website.
And I really appreciate it. I'll tell you this also, is when we go to an area, so like let's say we go to upstate New York, we need to find 5 or 6 that we're going to do, 5 or 6 locations. And remember, it's not just diners, it's drive-ins, it's funky joints. And people say, well, it's not a diner, it's not a drive-in, and I really wouldn't call it a dive, so I guess you can't come.
I just had a question pop into my head. Do you ever go to a strip joint?
You know what? I tried to add that to the show, but it really wasn't working.
You know? It wasn't working. I guess it was a little tough in the old Food Network
land. I'll tell you this. It's, the name is Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, right. But the theory is if it's funky, we'll find it.
Okay.
So we want to go to unique places.
Very
Speaking
cool.
of funky, Guy, last night on the show, you mentioned in passing to another chef, you mentioned a diner in Wichita. I'm from Wichita. This show is on in Wichita. How'd you happen to end up there? The diner you referred to, I think it was Brent's Diner in Wichita?
Oh, Brent's Diner, and I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
They mix the eggs in a milkshake mixer, froth them up, and the nicest guy in the world. And the great story is here's a guy that was running restaurants and diners and cooking for people for all these years,
right.
And then finally got his own shot at it and works it. He and his wife and his daughter, and they work it together, and it's a beautiful scene.
Cool.
And if you haven't seen it, it's kind of tucked away back there, kind of behind like a Napa Auto Parts and in a bakery store.
Okay, let's get some more people on with Guy.
Cool.
You're a popular dude.
Sure.
I got to tell you that right now.
I love the guys.
Let's go to Thomas in D.C. Thomas, you're on with Guy Fieri.
Hey, Guy, just wondering if you've ever heard of this place in Manassas. It's owned by a local celebrity. It's called Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Oh, stop that. All right, they're making fun. There, it had to happen,
See?
Guy. They're making fun of my restaurant. That's what they're doing. My failed restaurant enterprise.
Is that what he was just dogging you on?
It was O'Mara's restaurant, and it's sad, and I'll start crying if I keep talking about it. Let's go to Mike in Sacramento. Mike, you're on with Guy Fieri.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, man, I just got to say, I love that Texas Poppy's place, man. That place works perfectly.
Cool. Oh, my God. I swear to God, a guy will expect the check in the mail. He really will. Let's go to
sounds good.
Greg in Sacramento. You're on with Guy Fieri.
Hey, Guy, what'd you think about the squeeze in and the cheese on the burgers?
Dude, let me tell you something. And that's one of the places. This is what this guy's talking about. It's a place called the Squeeze In. Mm-hmm.
Squeeze In.
It's so small that it was the front foyer to a big hotel, I think. There's some story behind it. But it was just this little detached part of the building. Someone hauled it there and put a burger stand in it. So what they do is they melt the cheese, and they call it the skirt. They melt about 2 inches of cheese all the way around the outside of the burger. And it's this crispy cheese on the outside. The place was already busy. So I take my wife and my kids. We're coming back from Tahoe skiing. And she goes, oh, honey, let's go. She doesn't call me honey. She says, take me that burger joint. So we drive there. I come out, and it looked like there was a protest going on. No, it was just like 150 people waiting in line.
Wow.
To get into it. But the Squeeze In Sacramento, hands down, one of the best burgers ever.
Okay, let's get some call. We got to call another call from D.C. Let's go to Russell in D.C. You're on with Guy Fieri. And you're going to be one of the last calls. We got to take a break. Go ahead, Russell.
What's going on, Mike? What's up, guys?
How you doing?
Hey, on your cooking show, that refrigerator with the racing stripes and the number 5, is that your favorite driver? And can we actually purchase those kind of fronts for our own refrigerators at home?
You know, and I'm going to tell you something. You're up the right alley on that one, and we've talked about it. I don't know that they're out or that it's going to happen yet, but when they say, hey, Guy, what kind of stuff do you want to sell? I said, I want to sell all the stuff that I do, you know, what everybody sees. I want Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives neons. I think those would be the greatest thing.
Yeah,
the number 5, here's what it was. My producer said, hey, so what do you want to do? I said, well, I want to make my refrigerator look like a NASCAR. And we don't know we can do that. We can't use NASCAR. And I said, well, just do something cool to it. So they said, well, what's your favorite number? I said, number 1, you know, well, Evel Knievel. And they said, no, we can't do that one. What next? I said, heck, put 5 on it. I don't know why. I think it was because of Racer X and, you know, 5. And
so you actually have a NASCAR refrigerator.
No, I don't, but that's what we were going after.
Oh, you were going after that. Okay.
To put a car on it.
Racing stripes.
All right, let's get one last question for Guy Fieri. This is Bob in Idaho. Bob, you're on with Guy. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas. Hey, Guy. How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I just got done watching your show. I love TiVo. I watch it on my lunch hour every day.
I think I'm the TiVo poster child, actually.
You got a question for Guy, Bob?
I just wanted to tell him that thanks for the history on those shows, and I have to ask you, are those barbecued Cornish game hens really really the thing?
Ooh.
Oh, the one from up in Tarpley, Texas, up in the hill country outside of San Antonio?
He knows all the places.
Dude, I'm going to tell you one thing, and I'm going to tell it to you. That is about as legit as it gets. It's a little shack from Sears, a little wooden shack from Sears with a tin roof connected to 2 dead trees in the back. And she's cooking some of the most legit off-the-hook food. Matter of fact, I got to get back up there somehow. That place is awesome.
That's good.
Worth trying at home?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, without question. Without question. It's just so – Cornish hens are so – quail and Cornish hens are so dynamite, so succulent. They got, you know, good flavor to them. Anytime you're cooking any type of – you know, any bird on the bone, you're just getting dynamite flavor. Oh, but the only thing I forewarn you is cook yourself about 5 of them, because if you eat the way I do –
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just going to make you mad.
You got to have a lot of them. Bob, thank you very much for the call. Guy Fieri, we will get you on again, brother, because, man, it has been fun talking to you. You're a good guy, and watch Guy. We'll plug the show and everything else you're doing at the end of our broadcast and your website. But, man, go to the Food Network and check this guy out. Really, continued success with your shows and your restaurants, and we will get you on again, because I think anybody, I mean, who doesn't like to talk about food, and who doesn't want to know the local place
to
go?
Right.
Guy, thanks so much for coming on the show.
You guys have been awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Oh, I hope so.
All right, there he goes. That's Guy Fieri, and the guy's great. That's good.
Isn't he?
And when a guy says that, you know, I mean, he's somebody I'd like to get on a regular basis.
That's high praise. And we
get a hot plate in here.
Well, the Village Cafe, he was talking about a college campus. Was that VCU?
It's closer to U of R, I think.
University of Richmond than it is.
But I ate most everywhere down there.
All right, we'll get the Hollywood Hot Sheet with Buzz coming up, and also a little bit later on in the broadcast. make Katie laugh.
Yay.
Yes, it's almost too easy. We'll be right this after that.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.